Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Ali got bodied. That's sort of what Twitter is saying right now. And some are saying I was your tag team partner, Ramon. Not really. I was just a ref stepping in to stop the fight. I was just like, okay, this is over, man. This is done. Absolutely done. When you went squat rack on my boy, it was over.
Well, hey, you were the cut, man. I was just getting riled up. I promise you, man. And we were being clean. It was all in good fun, man. At the end of it, I told you I wanted to say, man, this reminds me of my time as a young guy playing in the league, because we used to tell the defensive lineman, hey, we're coming right here. And then we'd come right here, and the ball continued to run right behind us. Ali, that's what I was doing to you right there. Hey, Ali, the ball's coming right here. Stop it. He could not stop the nosebleed, man. I'm sorry, Ali, but that's just how it goes.
It was bad. It was a bludgeoning. We love Ali, though. He's one of the best listeners on the station. I know we'll hear from him a lot. That was one he'll want back. That was the second pick six. If yesterday was the first pick six for JG, today was the second pick six.
Look at you being radio savvy here with that one. You're right. After that one, everybody's not coming to him on the sideline anymore.
Somebody tweeted us at J-Mart and Ramon. By the way, Ramon Foster, who played 11 years in the NFL, is at Ramon Foster. You probably already know that. I'm at J-Mart Radio. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Schaefer completes our Voltron. He's at Schaefer on Sports. And again, we're at J-Mart and Ramon. Somebody asked a question, said, how many interceptions does Big Ben have this year? He's got one. He's got 11 touchdowns, one interception. Tannehill's got 13 touchdowns and two interceptions. So you got two quarterbacks that aren't making mistakes. Defenses are going to be out there to try and force that on Sunday. But we said we wanted to look at the defenses a bit as we continue our scout meeting here on Wednesday. Looking at the Steelers defense, they're number two in the league according to certain analytics. They're number one in the league according to other analytics. Tennessee is nowhere close in that way because they continue to give up a ton of yards and, well, at least on Sunday, a ton of points. They've won a lot of games in the 30s by 2 and 3 points. So that's not necessarily what you want to do. The one good one there, obviously, is Buffalo.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked Gradkowski about Buffalo, Moan, was mainly because it seems like what Buffalo is a team that can definitely take advantage of bad football teams, but maybe isn't quite ready to challenge the big dogs just yet.
Yeah, not just yet, man. And the thing about them is they're growing, but of course the season is ever changing. You get better from there on out, okay? And the thing that I'm looking forward to in this game is you mentioned the stats between this Pittsburgh defense versus this Titans defense. And the Titans defense is kind of in the second half of where you want them to be as far as rankings also. But the thing that struck my eye yesterday was listening to Coach Tomlin, or reading through Coach Tomlin's presser, was this. He said one thing, and I think we can all agree with, is help them win games and close out games with this Titans team, is they're an opportunist type of defense. Yeah, they might give up yards. They might not be the best as you want them to be in the red zone. There are some holes that got to be filled. The sack number you would expect would have been a whole lot higher this year. But they are a team that take advantage of your mistakes. And that's how they're winning those games right there. They're a team that figure out, okay, you know what? Yes, we're going to give up a whole bunch of yards this weekend. Our offense put up over 600 yards of offense this past weekend against the Texans, and we still went into overtime. So no mistakes can be made when you play against this team. If this team gets an opportunity to get you to fumble, turn the ball over, put you in a long third down or long down and distance in general, this offense is efficient enough to where they can bury you. And that's what we've seen happen. And especially going into this overtime this past weekend against Houston, they were a team that said, okay, we know what our strong suit is. We win the toss, give us the ball. And they marched right back down and closed the game out.
Yes, we know what the Steelers are going to do defensively. One thing that I've heard you mention a couple times this morning, just in case there are some folks out there that aren't familiar with this term, green dot, which you were talking about, Devin Bush is out, and he was the green dot this year for the Steelers. Just, again, a lot of you may know this, but those that don't, what exactly is the green dot?
the green dot is the communication from the sideline. You'll see the guy covering his ears with his covering his holes on his helmet, getting the call from the defensive coordinator. That I think that communication cuts off the last 15 seconds, but he's the guy that's giving the instructions on offense. The green dot on offense is obvious. It's the quarterback. So losing that guy, he was the major communicator on defense, is huge for this Pittsburgh defense, man. And I know both sides of the ball have taken catastrophic losses with Taylor Lewan being out. But when you have your defensive communicator lose, you lose him during the season, that's that leads questions to who's going to be that guy. Can that guy handle that? And what does it do for the rest of your defense? So I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to be the green dot for Pittsburgh this weekend on defense.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
It is.
Communication is a huge, huge deal. It's just another thing that's part of your rhythm. 615-737-1045. That's how you can join the program. Let's go to David. He is in Nashville. What you got for us this morning, Dave?
Good morning, fellas. Yeah, I read an article last night that said the last five times the 2-5-0 teams met, the winner went to the Super Bowl. I know y'all talking about them going to the Super Bowl, but as I read, the last five times they met, the winner went to the Super Bowl. And also, Moan, my son played with you up at UT, David Hovind.
Yeah! That's my guy.
He played with you up there.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. I've just been talking to Dave, man. I won't tell, you know what? I'm going to tell the world. Dave was trying to get a Steelers jersey from me, man, for his music video that he was shooting, man. Great. Hey, by the way, great kid, man. I enjoyed Dave at UT, man. I enjoy him even more now as a grown man, seeing him take on his responsibility and just being that guy, man. I'll be sure to tell him that you called up to the show, man. This is beautiful right here.
All right, Dylan. I appreciate that, fella. All right.
Appreciate it, Dave. Now, first off, that's a good stat that he dropped.
It is.
Well,
Dave is a cousin way back because David Hobart and I have been cousins at UT for a long time. So
is Ali? I guess Ali is a cousin.
He is a cousin because you need them too. He's the ones that try to get you to do like hood rat stuff and when you're not around your parents. So that's Ali right there for us.
So, I mean, is he allowed at the grown folks table or is he like on that card table that's outside for the secondary people at Thanksgiving?
Ali is the one that's outside trying to get you to go around the corner. Yeah, you got to watch Ali. He's the one to say, man, I love him, but we love him from a distance.
Pittsburgh's defense, 24 sacks to 13 for the Titans.
Yeah.
In terms of like where they are ranked wise, it's not great. No. Pittsburgh's getting to the quarterback a lot, which is why when you look at Lewan again, you're just like, okay, it's next man up. But boy, is it ever a tough next man up first assignment.
It is. And that's what we're going to say. I guess we start the rushers to rushers. We're looking at Jack Crawford, Daquan Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, who we know who he is, Jadeveon Clowney, okay, Harold Landry. Like, we're looking at that group compared to T.J. Watt, Bud Dupree, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu. You look at the production of one side compared to the other, and we've been talking about this a good bit too, is, hey, the guys on this Titans defense, of course, besides Big Jeff, he's been doing his thing, but Clowney's got to get those sacks. I think between TJ and Bud, they got more sacks than both of them right now. So this is something that's got to be handled this weekend. It's going to be amazing to see if they rise to the occasion, because we saw this Titans team rise to the occasion against what we thought at the time was an A opponent. With Buffalo, and they did the job then. So with Pittsburgh coming into town, it's going to be interesting to see what these two rush units do. If you're asking me to choose a side between which rush units, what I choose first, are we doing that right now, Jay? We want to wait till Friday on that one.
Well, we may wait till Friday.
We'll ask the fans on that, too.
Let's go to Cousin Mike before we get to break. Cousin Mike is in Cleveland, but I think he, if I remember right, he's a Steelers fan that lives in Cleveland. But let's find out. Mike, what's up?
Yeah. It's me. That's in Cleveland because I was just calling to make a comment on, I think pretty much it's going to be game time adjustment. Whoever has the best game time adjustment, that's who's going to win the game. I really see it's an equal match. You know, our defense is a little lagging, but I think Marcus Smith can come out during second half, and whether we get the ball first on offense or not, if that offense can stay heavy tempo, keep Derrick Henry with some good yards, at least 4 or 5 yards to carry on the first down, I think we definitely gonna win the game. But once again, thanks for, you know, thanks for always keeping me up early in the morning while I'm out here on this road, man. I appreciate it. So, y'all fellas have a good day. Can't wait to see this game. Let's go, Two-Tone. Let's go. Tighten up, baby.
There you go. Cousin Mike in Cleveland.
Definitely hashtag for the fam right there for him.
Adjustments are interesting. We're going to talk about the coaching matchup. Tomlin's been doing it for a long time. Vrabel has not, but both of them are great at it. And I think that we're getting to the point where just about everybody universally agrees. And Vrabel, in terms of adjustments and finding ways, well, we know what he's capable of just based on his time management and some of the things he's doing, taking penalties and saying, we got to clean those things.
Man,
no, savvy. No, coach, no.
Savvy guy.
Don't do them like that, coach. We all know what's going on. So we'll break down all of that. And maybe we'll let Ramona answer the question that he just kind of posed and teased a couple of minutes ago as well. You still plenty of time. We got Evan Washburn. He's in the last segment of the show. So still a little bit of time for you. It's 615-737-1045 or on Twitter at JMart and Ramon. Next, more on this Titans Steelers matchup, breaking it down as we continue Scout Meeting Wednesday on 104.5 The Zone.
What was scheduled to be a bye week now has your Titans facing Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Come on, this one should be easy. Big Ben no longer has Ramon Foster protecting him. We do. Kickoff is Sunday at noon on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
When trust matters, count on All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. We love having them as our lead sponsor. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more. Ali tweeted us during the break. I might have took a nail this morning going up against at Ramon Foster on at JMart and Ramon, but I got humbled in the weight room. The perfect motivation I needed this offseason. I will be back for you, Ramon, on Monday when the Steelers lose to the Titans.
That's his only winning chance, man. I swear, because doing this back and forth on the airway, he cannot catch a dub at all, man.
It's a struggle, man. He is definitely riding the struggle bus. This is a great quote. Brooke Pryor, who writes about the Steelers for ESPN. How do you prepare for Derrick Henry? Cam Hayward's response, put Bud at running back. Bud Dupree, running back this week at Steelers camp to try and mimic Derrick Henry.
I mean, that's about as close as you're going to get, but, man, which is why I worry about Ty Sambrelo this weekend. I remember him in his younger days. We used to have to tell him, hey, Bud, like, relax, man. We're in practice right now. He's just a bowling ball, and that's what you get with Derrick Henry this weekend for the Steelers defense, man. Like, this is a big challenge, like, all the way around.
We bring in Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio, our good friend at Rhett B Tennessee, and, of course, at Titans Radio on Twitter. Rhett, 5-0. I bet you're just beyond happy right now.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen this once before in 2008, and the feeling is very similar. But I'll tell you this, and I'm not trying to be the polar opposite of Ali and trying to crush people's dreams in Titans land, but, you know, the Titans are going to have to play their best game of the 2020 season. They're going to have to make as few mistakes as possible. And they're going to have to play complimentary football. This is the best, most complete team that they've faced all season, and they're going to need everything they've got.
Yeah, no question about that. If they play to the level that they've played throughout a lot of this season, especially defensively, I don't know what chance they've got, because the Steelers, you tell me if I'm wrong on this, Rhett. I know almost nobody's been able to stop them, but they haven't seen a defense like this. They can't anticipate putting up their 30-plus point average against Pittsburgh. The defense has to show up, get some stops, maybe force a turnover, even though Roethlisberger's only turned it over once this year with an interception. They've got to find something that works on the defensive side of the ball.
Well, let's take a wrestling analogy to this, and you hit it earlier in the morning when you guys started your scouting report on this. Remember when Hall of Fame WWE announcer Gorilla Monsoon would say the irresistible force meeting the immovable object, and that's what he used in WrestleMania 3, Andre versus Hogan at the Pontiac Silverdome? Well, that's kind of what this is in this thing, because you guys have set it up perfectly. Number two defense versus number two offense. And if you look at the numbers, Jason, it's simple. They are averaging 33 almost 33 and a half minutes time of possessions. They are allowing 26-37 to their opponents in time of possession. So that tells you what they're doing. They're making, you know, they're taking advantage of what they can on offense. And you're right, Big Ben hasn't hit all the main shots, bombs down the field. But they are just strangling teams and moving forward. And the other thing that nobody's talking about, Ray McLeod in the special teams game of this, he's number three in the NFL in kickoff returns, averaging 28 yards of return. So he's setting them up as soon as they get out there on offense to begin with. And then that defense, you mentioned it, 24 quarterback sacks, number one in the NFL. They were number one in the NFL at 15 sacks when they were supposed to play this back 2-3 weeks ago. And they're coming from all different spots in this thing. Now, the thing that is going to be interesting to me, though, is the injury report this afternoon, because as you've mentioned, Ramon, they lost their best linebacker, the guy with the green dot, and Devin Bush, and certainly they have Marquise Pouncey, your teammate, with a foot injury, and Mike Hilton, one of the unheralded corners in that secondary, has a shoulder issue. I'm interested to see what they look like on the injury list in this thing.
Yeah, and going back to the injury list on this weekend also, all right, as a guy that's stepping into a role for the rest of the season so far, and that's Tyson Brelo. Are you concerned this week with what's coming off the edge with Ty? I don't think it's a big issue, but it's something we got to keep our eye on.
It's a point well made, Ramon. You know it better than anybody, being an offensive lineman in the NFL as long as you were. I'm encouraged, like you are, that we didn't hear his name called after the sack and forced fumble by J.J. Watt. However, I think if you're a Titans fan in this, the silver lining is you've just gotten Michael Pruitt off of the COVID reserve list. So between him and a guy like Jeff Swaim, maybe you've got some help over there to chip on some things like that, to not only help if you're running Derek on the left side, but also to keep the Wolves away from the door in this kind of thing. But it's going to take everybody, and everybody playing, you know, lockstep and error-free if they can.
Right, and this weekend also, you know, something's got to happen. One team's got to win, one team got to lose, okay? And if worst-case scenario, I think for all of us is if it's a tie. But I think if we look at these two games, whoever wins and loses, I don't think they're in a worse spot than where they were. Maybe as far as playoff positioning, but I don't see a win or loss for either team putting them in a downward spiral. Do you?
No, because if you look at, you know, what their schedules look like on out from here, yeah, it's an AFC loss, but it's not a division loss. So, you know, that'd be a double whammy of this. They're both in great shape record-wise. They're both in great shape in their divisions. And, you know, for the Titans part of it, I mean, their next game is Cincinnati on the road. And I'm not, you know, taking the Bengals lightly with Joe Burrow and those guys. But that's a game they should be able to go up on the road and handle their business. And then they come back and play the Chicago Bears, who I think is a mirage at 5-1. I don't think they're a 5-1 football team. They are by record, but I'm not buying that one. So, you know, you can just keep stacking wins. That's what they got to do in all of this. And you guys hit the nail on the head earlier talking about Vrabel in this thing. You know, after what he pulled on Sunday with the, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, 12 men on the field penalty to kill 40 seconds of that clock, you know, people are starting to realize he is the Belichick disciple in this. All the others haven't done that well. He is. I read a headline from the Detroit paper yesterday saying, "This is what we thought we had in Matt Patricia, but this guy is the coach in Tennessee."
I mean, a lot of the guys from that Belichick chain haven't necessarily worked out nearly as well. They've turned out to be great coordinators that weren't able to then translate, but Vrabel certainly has not been that. And I think it speaks to just how his star is rising, Rhett, that Arthur Smith is still being talked about for head coaching jobs. We know that's something that is very, very likely if things continue. But this guy's going to be here for a while, and you've got national people just foaming at the mouth talking about Mike Vrabel and some of the things that he's doing and his intelligence, and he's finding loopholes. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing illegal about a loophole. You're just exploiting what's currently there. Now, if they change the rules, then that changes things. But Vrabel's just outsmarting people. And that I don't think that that can be overstated. He is giving his team opportunities that otherwise would not exist to win games that are being decided by razor-thin margins in this league.
Well, yeah, and you go back to the end, you know, the playoff run. He did it against his coach Belichick in New England to beat those guys. I mean, he was doing these kinds of things then. He is so savvy and just kind of flies under the radar. But the national perspective on this and reading all the things I did this week after what they went through with the COVID outbreak and winning two games against two good teams in 5 days, you know, the sentiment is it's like, golly, the Titans are so entertaining to watch. We're ready to see some more. That's the national perspective in this. And, of course, you know, giving credit to, you know, the Tannehills and the Henrys and, you know, the ones who have made it happen. But he's kind of just that crown on top about, golly, this is an interesting product to see. And they are really competitive in the, you know, 2020 National Football League.
And that's the part of it that's got everybody here, I guess, worried down the line after the season, whatever's to come from, is the fact that at this point, you can't really hide Arthur Smith anymore. Like, with what's going on here, whether you say it's the players or whatever the case may be, the system in which the players are working really well in points to Arthur Smith, points to his decision to put these guys in place to make these plays. What is the likelihood, and I ain't going to say of losing him, but just retaining him after this season?
It's going to be tough, and I'm not sure how the rules work as to whether they can block him from an interview or anything of that nature, and I don't think Mike Vrabel would block him in that because he doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But, you know, I think it all depends also on minority hiring in this, because after the offseason changes in the coaching circles that always happen, I know that there was a lot of folks that were unhappy that there aren't more minority coaches in this thing. So you got to think about that before you can say Arthur Smith is just plug and play into a certain place. He'll have his opportunities. He'll have interviews, I am sure. But I feel certain, you know, like a guy like Raheem Morris is getting a chance to show what he can do in Atlanta after being an interim coach so young in Tampa all those years ago. But, yeah, Arthur Smith, I've said it for weeks, this guy is going to be hard to retain because you said it, Ramon. I mean, that Wildcat play, King Cat at the end of the game, I mean, good grief, they did to them 2 years ago in week two against the Texans. And, you know, just what he's the performances by Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and this offense is what's going to get him a job. He's putting he's setting the chessboard up correctly to you know, make this thing happen and get the wins.
Brett, what's the most important and impressive thing about this 5-0 start for Tennessee from your vantage point?
I think it's the evolution of the offense, because I've, you know, done every game with Mike Keith for the entire history of the Titans. And we've seen what, you know, Jeff Fisher and Eddie George running the ball 3 yards in a, you know, cloud of dust. And then when things transitioned to a more pass style offense, when Mike Heimerdinger came into the picture in 2003 and four. And I thought that was unbelievable what, you know, Steve McNair was able to do in being a co-MVP that year with Peyton Manning. And then when he got hurt in the next year, Billy Volek was throwing numbers up left and right. This just is miles past that. Now, of course, the league has evolved into more, you know, RPOs and those kinds of things since then. But that's the thing that stands out, is that not only what they do when they're behind, they're still committed to the run with Derrick Henry, and it's because they know they can put up points on any drive. And you saw it Sunday. The minute that thing went to overtime and they walked out to midfield for the coin toss and Deshaun Watson calls tails, and the minute he said it's heads, he said, oh, man, and just walked off, because he knew they weren't going to be able to stop them. They hadn't, you know, they hadn't done a great job of it all day. That's the thing in all of this. I mean, they've put up 40 points how many times lately, and the 4 games in a row of 30 plus? That's amazing. Now, what will the Steelers' defense be able to do to stifle that? Well, they're going to do, you know, they're the best counter opponent in this thing to try to stifle that. But when you're talking 24 quarterback sacks, 8 interceptions on this team, yeah, that's a top 5 in the NFL right now. They're plus 5 in giveaway takeaway. The Titans are plus 6. So, I mean, it's going to come down to the old things. It's like, you know, whoever has the lead and the ball towards the end and hadn't turned it over 3 times, that's, I think, how this thing's going to play out.
Now, Rhett, we talked about a little bit at the beginning of our show is just the history of these two teams. There's been, between these two, nobody's played each other more than the Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers and the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise. I don't think people understand the history of these two teams to against each other. And if you're a guy who are a historian of it, just give some backdrop onto it on why this game is so big and Tennessee not having a team for the longest time. And now they have one. It just happened to be a team that they're very familiar with. It's not a rivalry, but underneath it is.
Yeah, and it goes really deep because when the Steel Curtain, you know, of course, Pittsburgh was horrible for 40 years. And then they started getting draft picks and hitting on those draft picks in the late 60s, early 70s. And it started with the Immaculate Reception, you know, playoff game against the Raiders. Back in 72, that's what basically started that dynasty in terms of, you know, okay, we got confidence, we can do this against anybody, yada, yada. And but you go back to Bud Adams, the longtime owner of the Oilers, there was a couple of Super Bowls he thought he should have gone to, and one in particular in a playoff game against the Steelers up in Three Rivers Stadium where Mike Renfro had that catch. And, you know, it was before instant replay and those things, and had it been a more forward-thinking modern product than it is now, it might be a different outcome there. So he was always up for Pittsburgh. And then Steve McNair always was a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He was that kind of guy because he was so tough and strong and physical. And so that's why I think he had a lot of his best games against those guys, because he wanted to be like that. He wanted to out physical his opponent in this thing. And if you go back and look at some of the stat lines in the games against the Steelers in his career, he really got up for those things. And there's a standard there. But yeah, it's a long rooted rivalry, even though they are not in the same division. But man, when they were in that AFC Central together, it was black and blue back and forth, man. I mean, just punch counter punch.
Rhett, who wins it?
I wouldn't be surprised if it went either way, guys. I really wouldn't. I mean, I feel like this is the Titans' year with what they've been through. And I'd say the Titans win it, but very close. And I would not be surprised if the Steelers won it in this fashion either, just because they have not faced a team this good. They are the most complete team in all three phases in this thing. Mike Tomlin, as you well know, Ramon, he is a very smart football coach in his own right. And, I like the Titans in this thing, but I like it if they play doggone near perfect football.
I think both sides
have to. You're the best, man. That's Rhett Bryan. That is Rhett Bryan, Titans countdown, Lee Company countdown to kickoff first, winning Titans countdown with Titans Radio at 11 and then the game at noon on Sunday. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. When we come back, the TV version on CBS, Evan Washburn will be on the sidelines. He joins us next on J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
Ryan Tannehill, Christian Fulton, and Corey Davis play here on your home for Titans football. 104.5 The Zone.
J. Mart and Ramon with you on 104.5 The Zone. We got Evan Washburn with us. He's going to be on the sidelines for CBS this Sunday at Nissan Stadium, as finally we're actually going to get Titans and Steelers. Evan, we appreciate you joining us. I wanted to ask you first, this really feels like a matchup of unstoppable force versus immovable object, where you have the number two scoring offense, the number two scoring defense going head to head. You get one group matching up directly with the other group, what one guy does best against what the other guy does best. Two undefeated teams. How do you assess the matchup of the Titans offense against the Steelers defense, as it seems like that's really the crucial point here?
Well, it's a great open there. We might just have to use that to roll into our game coverage, because you're right. It's statistically everything you would want in a game. But specific to your question, I think you first, when you deal with Pittsburgh, is
monitor those two edges. Those pass rushers, Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt, can wreck a game. They can injure a quarterback. We saw that last week with what they did to Baker over the course of that game. He came in banged up and then couldn't finish. So I think that has to be priority number one, and that does fit nicely with the way Tennessee plays offense. They like to run the ball in a conventional style with Derrick Henry, and when they do pass the ball, it's often quick passing game. The ball's out of Ryan Tannehill's hands quickly. He does a nice job of that. So I think Tennessee set up nicely, but all it takes, as we know, fellas, is one breakdown. And you had that with the sack fumble at Tannehill when Taylor Lewan goes out. So you can't have those type of mistakes and expect to keep pace with Pittsburgh like you did against Houston.
Here's a poll question that I'm going to ask tomorrow that we're going to put up on our Twitter account at Jay Martin and Ramon. Which quarterback would you want on Sunday? Would you rather have Ryan Tannehill, or would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger? When you assess all of the factors, I'm not talking about obviously what they've done to this point in their career, but Tannehill this year or Ben Roethlisberger this year for this one football game?
That's a great poll question. I'm sure it'll drive up the traffic, which is always the goal. I look at it this way. I'd probably rather have Tannehill, not so much because of his skill set, as great as he's been. I mean, the numbers, again, revisiting him since he took over last year, MVP caliber. But it's more about the pieces around him. I just love where Derrick Henry is right now. Hopefully, Jonnu Smith is healthy. A.J. Brown is emerging. He's got pieces on the outside. And Ben's still working his way back. I thought he was at his best in that game against Cleveland as he's been all season. We know he had a pretty serious elbow injury in the throwing arm. He's still finding his chemistry, self-admittedly, with his guys beyond Juju and Claypool's a young player. So specific to Sunday, I kind of like where Tennessee and Tannehill are as an offense. But talk to me in Week 12, and it could be a completely different answer.
We have Evan Washburn with us from NFL on CBS, and you will be on the sideline this weekend. Evan, man, we appreciate you coming to the show again. But also, one thing we got to look at in this game is the missing pieces. Both of these teams is like they're matched up perfectly for whatever this weekend was supposed to be. I mean, I think it's awesome that it actually got pushed back a little bit. It was inconvenience for both teams, but they both are undefeated and they both have missing pieces this weekend. I'm sure there's going to be a spotlight of it. The green dot from Pittsburgh, Devin Bush is out. And also you got the all pro Pro Bowl offensive lineman Taylor Lewan missing. Which one is a bigger detriment going into this weekend?
It's a great point, Ramon. I honestly think it's Devin Bush. I mean, you know this team intimately well. I don't need to remind you, but just for the listeners, I mean, Devin Bush has done what this team has been searching for since that really unfortunate injury to Ryan Shazier, to have an anchor in the middle that is an every down linebacker. And he had really taken what was a super productive rookie year and seemingly taken all the correct steps in understanding the entire defense, being the quarterback of that unit, and his athleticism and playmaking is off the charts. You remove that from what Pittsburgh does defensively, how much they blitz, how complex it can be, and that to me is a concern against any opponent, but specific to Tennessee and what they want to do, which is run the ball with Derrick Henry and then make plays in that short yardage area where Devin Bush was so effective. So to me, that is more concerning than having to replace Lewan, as key as that'll be against, as we touched on, the pass rushers in Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt.
Yeah, and this weekend, you know, one team has to win and one team has to lose, unless there is another tie this year, which it's 2020 and crazy things have happened. But the thing that I got to ask for you, too, win or loss, where do these two teams stand amongst the Kansas Cities, and at least on the AFC side? Kansas City and Baltimore has been everybody's measuring stick. Where would they still stand regardless win or loss this weekend?
I think they're right there, Ramon. I really look at the AFC as obviously the deeper of the two, but each team has a flaw. Baltimore, despite being 5-1, is clearly still figuring out who they are as an offense in 2020. Defensively, they can take the ball away, but they can also let teams back in games. We saw that last week in Kansas City. I mean, I was there in KC when they lost to Las Vegas, and their defense looks like the defense of maybe 2018, 2017. So despite the outcome of this game, I've still got Pittsburgh and Tennessee right below Baltimore and Kansas City, largely due to the fact that neither team team has really played a high-quality opponent at this point. I mean, the combined records for both teams in terms of their opponents are around 50% in terms of win percentage. I mean, Pittsburgh's got that game against the Browns last week is really the best win on the board for either team, and then Buffalo for 10-6.
Yeah, and the other side of Sue has been a major talker point for teams. I mean, just all around. You're a national analyst right now, and I guess the emergence of Arthur Smith, how big of a role has he been for this team, and how hot is his name across the league also?
Well, you know this. I mean, if you are a productive, especially at this point in time, offensive coordinator, your name's going to get thrown around for head coaching positions. I'm not one that believes that it's that easy of a transaction and the skill sets are directly aligned, but it still is the case. I've been so impressed with what Arthur Smith has done, and people that know the game a lot better than me have validated that. And it's been fun for myself, Iron Eagle. Our crew had Tennessee when Ryan Tannehill took over the game against the LA Chargers. And then a number of times along the way, including the playoff game against Baltimore, where they upset the Ravens. And now getting to see what they've done early in this year. And the progression has been so somewhat seamless, and now it's really become one of the better offenses in the league. So, one, I'm impressed. Two, there's no doubt his name has got to be floating around there as jobs come open next season.
Great stuff, Evan. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to hearing you and seeing you guys on Sunday. And enjoy your trip to Nashville as well.
Dude, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
That's Evan Washburn of CBS. We appreciate him joining us. We appreciate you guys joining us. We continue to break down Titans Steelers tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're also going to get you ready for Vols in Alabama and the big weekend in the SEC. And how about this? Big Ten football is actually going to start. So stick with us. Midday 180 is coming up next. For Ramon Foster, for Jonathan Schaefer, I'm Jason Martin. And remember, your mic's always hot.